I just want to share a few moments with you. What does it feel like to be forgotten? You know, I'm sure for Tolik and his family and friends in Ukraine, it's like, has the world forgotten us? You know, in Israel, the war with Hamas, or have we forgotten? 9/11 happens here, and all of a sudden our churches are filled, but shortly after that, things go back to normal, whatever normal is. It's like nobody sees or nobody cares or nobody notices. Maybe for us, you used to have a career or you were important or you felt connected, but now life has kind of taken you down a different path somewhere, and you think, does anybody see me anymore? Some of you were excited to start retirement, and you settled into it, but now it's become a little aimless and a little lonely, a little bored. Some of you maybe left a previous neighborhood or a previous job or maybe a previous church that you were part of and you were connected and it was like family and all of this stuff was going on. You had these great relationships, but you've moved and now you haven't heard from anybody in a while. Some of you maybe had to withdraw on purpose because of a situation in your life, taking care of an elderly person in your home, an aging parent, or something, situation changed, and you find out that you don't get invited to the hangouts anymore, or all the things just don't happen the way that they used to. Some are dealing with some kind of chronic suffering, and in the beginning, people surrounded you, and they laid hands on you, and they prayed for you, and they prayed with you, and they called you, but then the calls kind of just started getting less and less, and you feel forgotten. What does it feel like to feel forgotten? Maybe you don't feel forgotten. Maybe today that you're thinking, well, that's not me. But I know that there are times in our lives where things get hard. And we feel that we are on our own. And the things that we're going through, we have to decide, are we going to be faithful? Are we going to be strong? Or are we going to be caught up in our feelings and emotions? When that happens, oftentimes we don't feel just forgotten by people. We feel forgotten by God. God, I've cried out to you. You haven't answered my prayer. There are things going on in my life. Do you care? Where are you? Do you hear me? I want to look at some passages in Genesis chapter 40 and 41. And I kind of hit on this a little bit last week about Joseph. And I want to talk about that. And just to give you a little background. In Genesis chapter 37, Joseph has these dreams. He has these two dreams that basically his brothers and family, they're all bowing down to him. And the problem is he tells his brothers that. Now he's the youngest brother, and they're like, "What, man, we don't want to hear that. You're already the favorite. You've got this multicolored coat none of us have. Dad likes you better than he likes us, and now you're telling us we're going to end up serving you or worshiping you? We don't want to hear this." So they plot and they plan. They throw him in a pit. Then they pull him out of the pit, and they sell him into slavery, and he goes into Egypt as a slave. And then in Genesis 40, chapter 40, verse 1, this is where Joseph now, he has been in Egypt, and he was working first for Potiphar. But then Potiphar's wife tried to put a move on him. He got away from that, but she blamed it on him, said he was trying to come on to me, so they throw him in prison. And here is Joseph, who's had these dreams that the world, that these people are going to be bowing down to him. Now he finds himself in prison. Not even anything that he's done, and he's stuck. And it says this in chapter 40, "Sometime after this, the cupbearer of the king of Egypt and the baker committed an offense against the Lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was angry with his two officers, the cupbearer and the chief baker, and he put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard in the prison where Joseph was confined. Now the captain of the guard appointed Joseph to be with them, and he attended them, and they continued for some time in custody." And we read that and we think like, okay, well, here's the situation. The butcher and the baker and the candlestick maker, they all get thrown into the prison with Joseph and they're sitting there with Joseph. But we go past where it says, "and for some time in custody." How long has this been? God, have you forgotten about me? Here I'm in prison and I'm getting new people in here, but it's, I don't want to make new friends in prison. I want to get out of here. Then it says this, verses 5-8. And one night they both dream. That's the cupbearer and the baker. The cupbearer and the baker, the king of Egypt, who were confined in prison, each had his own dream and each dream with its own interpretation. Now, when Joseph came to them in the morning, he saw that they were troubled. So he asked Pharaoh's officers who were with him in custody in his master's house, "Why are your faces downcast today?" And they said to him, "We've had dreams, and there is no one to interpret them." And Joseph said, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell them to me." Now remember, Joseph, he's had these dreams. "I have these dreams. It's kind of weird. I had these dreams that my family and the people were going to bow down to me and all these things were going to happen. And it hasn't happened, but I've had these dreams. Maybe if you tell me your dreams, God will give this interpretation. We can figure out what's going on." So dreams are a big part of who Joseph is and what he's doing. So the cupbearer tells him his dream. And Joseph says, "This is the interpretation. There are three branches. Those are the 3 days. In 3 days, Pharaoh is going to lift up your head and he's going to restore you to your office. And you shall place Pharaoh's cup in his hand as formerly when you were his cupbearer." Then he says this, "Only remember me when it is well with you. And please do me the kindness to mention me to Pharaoh so to get me out of this house, get me out of this place, to get me out of this prison." You know, you've got some good news here. You're going to go back, man. You're going to be the cupbearer to the king again. And all of this great stuff is going on. So the baker, he gets excited. "Hey, well, interpret this dream for me." And Joseph answered and said, "Well, this is the interpretation. The three baskets, they're 3 days. And in 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head from you and hang you on a tree. And the birds will eat the flesh from you." Can you imagine being the baker? It's like, that's not the interpretation I wanted. I wanted one like the cupbearer. But Joseph said, this is the interpretation. So then in verses 20 through 23, so on the third day, that's the 3 days, Pharaoh's birthday, he made a feast for all the servants and lifted up the head of the chief cupbearer and the head of the chief baker among the servants. He restored the chief cupbearer to his position and he placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. Man, I got some good news. Isn't that the way a lot of times things happen? We receive some good news and we forget about how we got there, the people that helped us get there. It's like, wow, I won the lottery, you know, and we forget everybody else, you know. And so for the cupbearer, it's like, man, I won the lottery. I got my life back. I'm out of prison. I'm restored to my office. It's a pretty important office. And what kind of birthday party is that anyway? It's like, let's have a birthday party and hang somebody. It's kind of crazy. And then chapter 41 starts off like this. After 2 whole years, Pharaoh dreamed that he was standing by the Nile. Verse 1 of chapter 41 begins, 2 whole years. What's it like to feel forgotten? Not just for a week, not just for a day, not just for a month, not for a season, but for 2 whole years. Pharaoh has this dream. He asked all the experts, "Hey, tell me, interpret this dream for me." And they can't. And he gets angry with them. And they can't remember or they can't tell him what's going on. And then it says this. When Pharaoh was angry with his servants and he put me as the chief baker in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, we dreamed on the same night, he and I, each having a dream with his own interpretation. A young Hebrew was there with us, a servant of the captain of the guard. And when we told him, he interpreted our dreams to us, giving an interpretation to each man according to his dream. And as he interpreted to us, so it came about. I was restored to my office and the baker was hanged. So now he's remembering, wait a minute, there was a guy that interpreted this dream for me. Wow, what have I done? So he tells Pharaoh. So Pharaoh sends and calls for Joseph. They quickly brought him out of the pit. And when he had shaved himself, changed his clothes, he came in before Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I have had a dream, and there's no one who can interpret it. I have heard it said that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it." And Joseph now, answered Pharaoh, "It is not in me. God will give Pharaoh a favorable answer." And then verse 46, Joseph was 30 years old when he entered the service of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. When he was first sold into slavery, he was 17. Now he's 30. 13 years have passed. Have I been forgotten, God? You gave me these dreams that these wonderful things were going to happen, and nothing has happened. And yet he remained faithful. It's not in me to tell you about the dreams. It is in God. In chapter 37, again, he's 17. Now he's 30. He's coming back. God's plans take time. Sometimes we think he doesn't hear us, but even when we don't feel it, he's working. Even when we don't see it, he's working. He is still on the throne. God's plans take time, and we don't like that. We want it done in our time. We want it to be short. We want it to be quick. But God's stories take time. Maybe it's because of the dreams that he had that he was holding on to a little bit of faith. Well, God, you gave me these dreams that not only is my family going to be bowing down to me, but the world's going to be kind of bowing down to me. And now I'm in prison. Is this really how it ended? Was this just a false dream? And having endured all the great suffering and all that injustice in his life, he's now in the position, the second highest person in Egypt. He can use all that power, not only for himself, not only for his family, but for the whole world. What happens? Everything goes through in... Should I answer it? That would be awesome. He can't talk right now. That's weird. Sorry, you know my ADD. Now I'm like, I'm thinking of every comical situation I can go through. I know. Yeah, that's a potential spam, you know, that kind of thing. So now the whole earth is, so what had happened is when he interprets a dream for Pharaoh, he goes like, okay, we're going to have 7 great years. And during these 7 great years, we need to put stuff away and save up and tax and do these other things, because after that 7 years, there's going to be 7 years where things are going to bottom out and we need to be prepared. And so Pharaoh's looking around and says, well, you're the guy to do it. And so he puts Joseph in charge. And so that's what's happening. So now Joseph is seeing maybe that first dream that God placed on him. I'm not saying it's easy for us to not feel forgotten, because sometimes we do feel forgotten. It's not that God's forgotten us. It's not that the people have forgotten us. It's we feel forgotten. And that's a real feeling that we have. It's a real struggle that we have. And it's not easy for us to say like, oh, you know, it, just hang on. Hang on. Pray until something happens. You know, just kind of keep going. Put one foot in front of the other, and we struggle through. First Peter puts it this way, beloved, don't be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you as though something strange was happening to you. In other words, this is real life. And Jesus, when he calls us, this is the life that he calls us to. Jesus knows what we've been through. He knows what you've been through, what I've been through, what we're going to go through. Jesus knows what it felt like to be forgotten, to be rejected, to be abused, to be maligned, to be mistreated. And so he's the person we can go to and say, God, you have done that. I need help. How do I go through this? He gets it. He wants us. Paul in 2 Corinthians says this, that we're treasure in these jars of clay. And he says this, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. We're perplexed, but not driven to despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. We are struck down, but we are not destroyed. By the way, who does that sound like? Joseph. Every step along the way, something was happening, knocking him back. And it would have been very easy to say, I'm done. I'm out of here. Forget this. As Tolik was sharing, he said, you know, when they were talking about family and stuff going on in Ukraine, it would have been so easy to say, you know what, we're out of here. We're going to go to Poland where things are a little safer. We're going to go all the way to Germany where things are safer. We don't want to be here in the midst of this. But the vision that God plants in our hearts is to get us through those times of struggle. To get us through those times where we feel that we are forgotten. Make no mistake, when we look at the Joseph story, when we look at what Jesus said, not only to Paul and to Peter and to the apostles, here's what he's saying, that we've got to understand that suffering and pain are not just things that come up on the road to glory. It is the road to glory. Paul Miller, who is a theologian, he has written, he's part of See Jesus. It's a study. He does a lot of books. He does a lot of speaking. He calls this the J movement. And when he talks about the J movement, he says that what we do is, if you think of the J, and it's easy to remember because it's the first name, the letter of Jesus, but it's more like a hook. It starts off here, but we die. And then we have this great resurrection. Christ says, we die to the old, and then the new comes. And so Paul Miller, when he's expressing this in his books, he's talking about if we could begin to accept this paradigm as Christ followers, we're going to understand that every day there are going to be circumstances where we die. It could be death of a relationship, death of a job, death of a whatever, something that happens that puts us down in this valley, but the resurrection is coming. This is the main path. It's the way that it works. It's not some sign that when we're going through struggling that we screwed it up. It's not some sign that says, oh, you're doing it wrong. You know, just forget it. Let me do this. It's certainly not some sign that God says, I am done with you, because he is not. This is how God is going to deepen our hope. This is how God is going to loosen our grip on the things of this world. This is how God is going to get more glory for himself than from us. And it's how we can live with a sense of peace and patience when the rest of the world is looking at us going, I don't know how you're getting through it. Well, I'll tell you how I'm getting through it. It's only by the grace and the mercy of God. So what are you struggling with today? Do you feel forgotten? Because I want to tell you, you are not forgotten. You are deeply, deeply loved by a Savior that gave everything for you. Father, I just thank you for today. I thank you for the times where we feel your presence in a mighty way, when it's real easy to look up and say, yeah, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. But Father, I also thank you for the times when we're in that valley, when we're in that death, when we're in that struggle, because we know that you are not finished with us. Your scripture tells us that you are going to continue to work and complete in us. And we thank you for that. Father, help us to hold on to the vision that you've given us through Jesus and through the Holy Spirit working in our lives. Father, I pray for our church, that we would rise up and be the church that you have called us to be, that we would be salt to this world, a light to this community. Father, we lift up the church and the ministers in Ukraine. We ask, Father, that you would protect them, but you would use them in a mighty way to just pierce the hearts of darkness, fill them with the love and the beauty of Christ. And Father, as always, we pray this in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.